Okay, so returning to this Gemara again on the bottom of Cheder and Aleph, but this time we will continue through. So the Gemara had said, as follows. Tana, ein mechayven ato lahachniz yado lechorin lestakin milivdok. Right? So we already established that if I live an attached house attached to Mo, and between our house there is many, many feet of wall. So we don't have to stick our hands into the hole when there might be scorpions or the holes in the ground. Fine. Bnei sakana. My sakana, what's the danger? Gemara says, "Ename of bnei sakana nakrav." If it's scorpions, ki mishdamash eichem mishdamash. Sorry, this is not the hole between us, the hole in the floor. If it has scorpions, you're not using it. I don't know why we have scorpions in our wall, so yeah, you wouldn't use that hole. Lo tzricha d'nafal. Gemara says, you're right, maybe it fell into a hole in the floor, and maybe there are scorpions living in your floor. Inafal lama libedika. But if it fell, why should you need to search at all? Vatanan, chametz inafal av mapolet, harei ukemuvuar. Chametz that falls, that a building falls on it, rock slide falls on it, it is destroyed. Hatam she'ein ha'kelev yachol l'chapeis acharav. Achak she'kelev yachol l'chapeis acharav. So Gemara says it depends. If a dog could reach it, so then you have to get it out. If a dog can't reach it, then you do not. But now the Gemara goes back and he says, I don't understand. Why are you worried about searching for the chametz in the hole in which there are scorpions coming? You should never be afraid of scorpions when you're doing chametz, because Amar Rabbi Elazar, shluchei mitzvah eino, einon nizokin. The ones who are performing a mitzvah, for the moment we'll call it that, but technically shluchei is messengers, and we'll come to that, they can't be damaged. So Amar Rav Ashi, shematovet lo machat, v'ate le'ayune batre. Maybe he will also have lost a needle, and he'll be looking for the needle, and while he's looking for the needle, so
scorpion.
So the Gemara says, so what? At this point, the Gemara assumes that when is he going to find the scorpion? While looking for the chametz. Sorry, yeah, what? When? While looking for the needle, while looking at the needle, while looking for the chametz, meaning simultaneous, he's looking for whatever he can find, chametz or needle. So the Gemara says, "Uchi ha'gavna lav mitzvahu." Why would that not be a mitzvah? So this was the sugya we did yesterday. V'atanya Omer sela zulit tzedaka b'shvil sheyechiyah ben Yosheyah ben olam haba. If one gives money to tzedaka on condition that his son shall live, or that he gets a place in the world to come, ha'reiz et tzadik gamur. You are righteous. If you're righteous, that implies it is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. Then it should trigger the protective capabilities of shluchei mitzvah in nizokin. So the Gemara says, no, you misunderstand. It's not that Kobe will be looking for chametz and or needle. He will look for chametz, find Avi's long-lost stale Oreos, and then he's like, well, my hand is already in here. I might as well find Gabe's needle what is it called? Needle felting. For needle felting. And that is not a mitzvah. Well, maybe it is, because maybe it's Hashavat Aveda. So Gabe is doing the bedika, so now he's returning his own object. Fine. So the Gemara says, Dema Batar Debatagat Le'yune Batra. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Amar Mishum Sakanat HaGoyim. It's not, now we're continuing, we hadn't yet read, it's not scorpions you're afraid of, it's non-Jews. Uplimohi, according to Plimo, Titania Horsha Ben Yehudi Laramoi. If my next door neighbor was not Mo, but was Chris. So Bodek Admakom Shiado Magad, Vasha Mivatla Beliba. Whatever I can reach, I reach, and the rest I'm Mivatel. Plimo Amar, Kol Atzmo ino Bodek Mibnea Sakana. You don't check. Sorry. You don't check at all. Why? It's dangerous. Why is it dangerous?
Non-Jews?
I don't know.
So my sakana, what's the danger? In ema sakana kshafim, ki ishtamesh, heche ishtamesh. If it's that the non-Jew will be afraid that I am casting spells on him.
No,
well, how experienced are you, Avi, in casting spells? So maybe one of the ways you cast spells, you stick your hand through a hole in the ghost wall and you do, you know, you wave your fingers around. Maybe the needle that you find he'll think is your magic wand and not, and I don't know. So if that's the case, he says... No. I'm just saying. Fine. He thinks that you're doing magic with your hands. Then if that was the case, then you would never use this hole. If you're afraid that your next-door neighbor is going to be afraid that you're performing magic and is going to come and threaten you and say, if you cast one more spell on me, I'm going to kill you, so then you're just not going to use the hole because you don't want your very angry next-door neighbor to think that in self-defense he has to shoot you so you don't turn him into a frog. If that was the case, you just wouldn't be doing it. So, Hatam ki ishtamesh, Sigmara says, Yamama unahora v'lamasa gadaita. He says, no. You do use it. You know why you use it? Because normally you use it during the day. This looks more creepy because it's at night with a candle. You know, that's the type of thing that if someone was going to suspect you of magic, it is midnight. Well, maybe not midnight because it's, you know, you're supposed to do at the beginning of the night. But okay, it's night and you have a candle and you're waving around your fingers and saying incantations. You're saying, Baruch Atah. And you have a feather and a wooden spoon, and they look at you and you say,
I don't know.
There is no logical explanation for what is going on here. First of all, why does anyone have a feather? Second, why does he have a wooden spoon? Why does he have a candle? It's 2023.
Then you convert.
What? But the guy doesn't know it, so he thinks that you're turning him into a frog or whatever. Yes, exactly. It is magical. I turn bread into dust. And then I can eat it, according to Michtam, because it is dust. So he thinks maybe he'll turn him into dust. Ah, you know how to turn bread into dust. It looks like bread, but it is dust. Maybe you can turn me into dust. Yes.
Are you bread? No.
Maybe you can turn him into bread and then turn him into dust. Oh, he doesn't know the magic. So he says, Ha chalel yishragahu masigadaiti. He's going to notice the candle and the feather and the spoon and the incantations and the random words in Aramaic, which call chamira v'chamira, right? You're doing with a lot of kavana. You start chanting. You know, it could look very creepy. And the guy is like, you know what? He's trying to kill me. That's it. Yeah, yes. I'm talking about your neighbor that you are saying call chamira. Fine. Still.
Oh my God.
Anyways, God. So the Gemara says, okay, I got it. It's dangerous. But who cares? The Amar Rabbi Elazar, but Rabbi Elazar says, Shluchai Mitzvah, and he's okay. That those who are involved in a mitzvah will not be hurt. So the Gemara says, that's true unless, Heicha Deshchia Chazeika Shaini. When damage is common, commonplace, that the situation you've created is likely to lead to danger, because most suspecting non-Jews, if you start sticking your hand through their wall in the middle of the night and chanting incantations and waving candles and spoons and forks and feathers, might freak out and threaten to kill you, especially in a world in which magic, you know, was something they believed in or was prevalent, or whichever side of that Rishonic dispute you would like to take. And how do we know that we care that the standards are different for danger when the danger is a common danger? Vayomer Shneamar, Vayomer Shmuel, Eich Eilech Ushama Shaul Vaharagani. God tells Shmuel, I'd like you to do the following. You've already fired the king, but he is still is the acting king, but he's fired. I would like you to go and appoint a new king. Shmuel says, you know, God, that sounds just wonderful. But, you know, acting kings don't normally like when you go and appoint other kings in their stead. This is a dangerous thing. Shaul might kill me. which, as we see later, he does have a little bit of a murderous streak once he gets paranoid, you know, when he tries to kill David and his son at different points by stabbing them with spears. Well, no, his son, because he helped David. So, you know, this is not the type of thing I want to do. Instead of God saying, don't worry, shluchei mitzvah in nizokin, you'll be fine. God says, how about a ruse? Why don't you go to Beit Lechem and bring a karban? And then if anyone asks why you're going, you'll say, because God told me that I have to make a sacrifice in Bethlehem. That is why. I have to go to Beit Lechem to bring a karban. Nothing, that's it. Nothing to see here. Just a karban in Beit Lechem. Well, what? Exactly. Nothing behind the curtain. Nothing's there. Ignore the man behind the curtain. Bo mine mi Rav. So they asked Rav, Hani b'nei b'Rav de dairi b'vago. These students from Rav's yeshiva, that they live in the fields, out in the fields, in Baga. Ma'u l'meiti kadma v'chashocha l'b'Rav. Are they allowed to travel to yeshiva? And they want to be on time, because as we know, no one should ever be late to yeshiva under any circumstances. Never happened. And therefore, the Talmidim Rav said, look, here's our shaila. We don't, obviously, chas v'shalom, rachmana l'islam, lo aleinu, we never want to be late to yeshiva. Elamai, in order for us to get to yeshiva on time, we have to travel, because our yeshiva obviously starts at sunrise. Right, obviously, because we daven hanetz. Yeah. So for us to get to yeshiva for hanetz on time, we need to walk in the dark from the fields. And that's not exactly the safest thing to do. And after night seder, obviously we're not going to leave night seder till at least 11:30 p.m. I mean, Rachmana litzlan, how could we not be learning till 11:30 p.m.? And then, you know, it's not exactly the safest thing to walk. This was like in the Heights, you know. I'd be like, oh, well, I'll learn late, but do I really want to? Mojian's pretty safe. In the Heights, walking across the Heights at those time of nights, I have several friends who were mugged on their way to Hanates. Multiple times I have friends who were mugged on the way to Hanates. Ray Clapper grew up in the Heights. It happened to him multiple times. Right. Not even at Hanates, just in general, because he said he was absent-minded and didn't notice that people came over to mug him. I had a friend who was mugged in his apartment building at Machete Point. You know, it's the Heights. Yeah. It's the Heights. I don't know how to describe the Heights, except it's the Heights. So there's a play about it. Exactly. Yes, I haven't seen it yet. I should, but I, you know. Anyways, not the point is that they said to him, listen, we're happy. If you tell us that we're going to be okay coming to Hanetz, traveling through these dangerous areas and leaving after night seder, then bisimcha, we will come and be on time for Hanetz, and we will stay till night seder till 11:30. We'll stay for Mishmar till 2 in the morning. No, and be back for Parsha, whatever you call it on Friday morning. Parsha and pastries. Can we do that? Amar lehu neto alai val safari. So he said, coming to yeshiva, it's on my neck. I promise you, you'll be safe. It'll be okay. Nezel mai. What about going back, leaving yeshiva? Amar lehu la yadana. I'm not sure leaving yeshiva is safe, because that's not a mitzvah. So maybe, just to be safe, you should stay here forever. You know, I'm not really sure what to tell you. Meaning, so now the Gemara raises, now, this is weird. What is weird already? Let's start analyzing this Gemara. Again, today, we'll see how far we get. What is weird already in this Gemara? What's odd about this line already? If I'd asked you, is going from the fields to the yeshiva at 4 in the morning, is that shchicha hezeka or not shchicha hezeka? Is that a case where damage is common? Yeah, I would have said it's expected. So does that mean that this line in the Gemara, assumes that, no, it's really not unsafe to walk at 4 in the morning from the fields to yeshiva? There aren't really robbers? Or is this arguing on the previous line and saying that, no, shluchei mitzvah in nizokin,
even if you're welcome.
Even if it is a common danger.
It's common that will happen to do that, but it's not like you have to get multiple don't do it.
Right. So, but the point is that here it's you would. So is it? So the point is it? Is it? Right, but he's telling them, at least coming to yeshiva, he assumes that it's okay. Does that mean Rav is more expansive, or does Rav just think it is not that dangerous? I don't know. On the other hand, what would indicate in this Gemara that he does think it's dangerous, and nevertheless it's okay?
Because of the context that it's brought.
No, because he tells them don't go back. He's not sure if they can go back. Meaning, he does think it's dangerous, he just doesn't know if the magic protection applies at night, which implies that the danger is there. Because otherwise he would say, well, what's the problem? It's not dangerous. Alternatively, he says, no, it's there, it's just not shchiach. I'm not sure. Then the Gemara says, Itmar, Amar Rebbe Elazar, Shluchei Mitzvah Einan Ni Zokin, Lo Bahalichatan, Velo Bechaziratan. So now, this shita now introduces the opinion, and it says, no, there is a clear machloket where Rav is unsure as to whether the protections offered by the category of shluchei mitzvah applies even when you are leaving from the mitzvah. But the Gemara quotes at least one position that assumes that there is protection granted, both on the way to perform a mitzvah and on
way back.
What is that? Ki haitana detanya, from the following braita, Isi ben Yehuda Omer, that Isi ben Yehuda says, Klape shamra Torah velo yachmon ish et artzicha, the Torah says that when you are ole regel, right, when you are ole regel, milameid shetehei paratcha ro'a ba'efer. Ve'ein chaya mazikata, tarnel golotcha minakeret ba'ashba, ve'ein chulda mazikata. So the Torah says, don't worry, when you go and you're ole regel, no one will desire your land. No one will covet your land. It's Parshat Yitro. We should use the proper English translation. Covet. Covet. Obviously, that is the canonized translation of lo tachmod. Covet. Correct. Thou shalt not covet. The Ten Commandments, as we hear in Jethro. So the Gemara's first position is Milamashit Paratcha Roaba Beafar Vein Chaya Mazikata. It means that your cows will graze and no animals will hurt it. Tarnagolotcha Minakarid Bajvin Khulda Mazikata. Your chickens will, your roosters will peck happily in the garbage dump, and no Khulda, no weasel or marten will attack them. And therefore you shouldn't be fearful of going to Jerusalem, because it'll all be okay. Valodvarim Kalvachomer. And now the following Kalvachomer, the following A for T R I. Uma Elu Shadarkan Lizok in a Nizokin. If these damages are to begin with rare, and the Torah goes out of its way to tell you, be protected from these occurrences. Vine Adam Shane Darkan Liz, sorry, other way around. These are common, and the Torah says, even these common things, right? Wild animals are always around. If even the wild animals, right, a cat. It's very rare for your cat. We had this a few years ago, my first year in Migdal. There were a bunch of guys who kept pet chickens in their backyard. And one day, there were not pet chickens. There were just a bunch of feathers, because the local cat population decided that... Right, so he says cats, or in the time of the Gemara, weasels or martens, routinely eat the chickens hanging around. And nevertheless, God says, I shall protect your chickens.
No.
I shall protect your chickens.
B'nei
Adam she'ein darkan lizok. It is rarer for people to get hurt because they can protect themselves and prepare for the trip. For sure, alachat kama v'kama, they will be protected. Ein li ela b'halicha b'chazara min ayin. So now the Gemara says, okay, fine. That's on your way to the Beit HaMikdash. How do I know that you will be safe on the way back? Now we're introducing this principle of Shulchem Yisvin and Zokin, even Bichazaratan. Talmud Lomar, Ufanita Vavokar Vahalachda Lo Alecha. Because the Pasuk says, and you shall turn in the morning and go back to your tents. Which means that when you go back, you will find your tents in peace. Meaning, you are protected on the way back. Now, if you're going to be protected even on your way back, for sure on your way to perform the mitzvah, so why do we have this? It's coming to teach you a different halacha. Adam sheish lo karka, olo lo regel, sheein lo karka, eino lo regel. Only if you own land are you obligated to be olo regel. Amar Rabbi Avin bar of Adam, Rabbi Yitzchak, mipnei ma ein perot ginisor b'Yerushalayim. Why aren't these amazing fruit from ginisor in Yerushalayim? Why aren't these high quality fruit grow in Yerushalayim? Kidei shelo yu ole regalim omrim ilmale lo alinu el lechol perot ginisor b'Yerushalayim dayenu nimzad aliyah l'shol shma. So that people don't say that, oh, I'm going to Yerushalayim to get these fruit, because then your going would be not lishma. Not lishma. Kayotze Bomer of the Stoibu Rabbi Yanai Ibn Ma in Chame Deveria Birushalayim. Why aren't there hot springs like those of Tveria in Yerushalayim? Kadesh Loyoli Regalam Omrim Ilmalinal or Chos B'chame Tveria. Oh, I went to Yerushalayim not for the Beit HaMikdash, but for the spa. Wow. We don't want that. Dayinu would be sufficient. Nimzat Aliyah Shalol Lishma. Okay. So this is the principle that I want to try to analyze. We will see how long we take on it. But it is a fascinating principle, halakhically, philosophically. It is very, it's very, very interesting.
Yes.
So let us talk about this principle. Well, before we get into any of the sources, you tell me, what does it mean? Where should it apply? What should it mean? What is the theological issues that you have with it?
So,
give first impressions. I want first impressions, not that we've read the Amud of Gemara. First impressions of the principle of Shluchei Mitzvah, Einan Nizokin. Yes,
so,
Mo.
Okay. So, if someone does a mitzvah, then they'd be protected.
Good, why?
What does it actually mean?
Good, that's what I'm asking you. Good, what does it mean?
I'm on my way to do a mitzvah. I'm not immune from harm.
Why?
Have you ever gone to a mitzvah? Have you ever gotten
hurt?
Well,
that's
sort of...
Huh?
What?
When I first... No. Okay, good. No, I want your first impression. So, Mo's first impression...
You can see historically that people have been hurt. So here's things that we need to think about. No,
I really want first impression. So,
the first thing that Mo notes is...
Doesn't seem to be true.
How does this relate to reality? People get hurt. I will give you two right up here. One, RFC is lulav. Okay?
Right. Right, Rishmul David was doing lulav or sukkah and got a piece of it through his hand, and as we know, that's sukkah. Yes!
No,
he got a piece
sukkah,
of it. Fine. Sukkah. His sukkah. Okay?
I'm not sure
what sukkah. Sukkah. Okay, he was the Pavadrich, and he... Yes! Look! Happens. Good? Here, Raya. Second Raya, I will speak for Eitan. Eitan said, you know, the Gemara by Elisha Ben Avuya, that he saw someone climbing up to do the mitzvah of Kamsipur, falls off, and he says, what? The Pasuk says that you're supposed to Laman Yarichu Yamecha, but the reason you do this is you'll live long, and while he's doing the mitzvah, because his parents told him he died, let din let die, there is no judge in this world, that's it, I'm done. And the Gemara says, oh, he didn't understand, it's an Olam Haba, but the point is, like, this is not an obvious rule. In the case, you know, Mitziut doesn't matter to you because, you know, you're a Brisker. I only care about, you know, what's in the Gemara. I don't care about reality. Why should reality have any kashas on halacha? Okay, it's a Gemara. Are you happy? Gemara. Gemara, it's a reality, right? It's like the old Brisker joke that someone gives them tea in a cliche, and he says, "Ouch, it's hot." Quaffer! Right? You know?
Right? The cliche, and he's not hot enough to cook. You know?
So good. One is, Mitsuya problem, which is, what could mean it doesn't seem to be true? Good. What else? What other first impressions do you have about this sugya? Good. The second is, we're pushing our luck here, right? It is quite extensive in terms of, right, extensive protective balance. Why? Good. Yeah? When? When? Good. So, well, distinguish, please. Is it always?
Say, you and I have a very tough habit, mm-hmm. and someone wants to break into your habit with cap, you know, they're no longer able to do
so. Okay, but what about, so think about some of the cases in the Gemara. Good, so we have some of the cases in the Gemara where it clearly says that people won't harm you, and then that gets into a free will problem. But some of the cases in the Gemara. Are talking about animals. Are the animals not harming your animals? But you're right. This is another question. A major question the Farshim have is, wait a second. I understand that you might say that God will metaphysically protect you and they will make sure that the weasel or the cat doesn't eat your chicken because the cat doesn't have free will. So God can miraculously swoop in and protect your chicken. But say that he's going to prevent any person in the world from harming you just because you're doing a mitzvah, if that's really what it means, doesn't it violate free will? And maybe there's a difference between damage that you would incur from beings that have free will and those that do not. Very good. Okay, good. What else? That's a question we have to deal with. Now we're going to have to deal with, we have to deal with the very weird case, which is Shiyah Hezekah. Which is, okay, let's assume for a second that none of this bothers us, and God does miraculously intervene. Great. So God miraculously intervenes. Then why does he not miraculously intervene if the damage that you are facing is common damage? Right? Like, last I checked, God... If God is in fact miraculously involved protecting you when you perform mitzvot, so then if we buy that, then God should be able to protect you even from common things.
So maybe it's
a mindset. What?
So Gideon says, well, maybe, right? That's true.
Maybe it's true, but you have to put in some in. Effort. So, fine. If it's something that's uncommon, so God will bring it uncommon. But if it's common, you know, for God to put in, to God to put in all the work would remove human agency. Now, we also have to really wonder in the Gemara, I'll just throw this out, which is, right, is Aliyah LeRegel.
Yeah.
Right? Is it an exception? Right? Gemara takes it as a given that Aliyah LeRegel, we're not necessarily going to answer all these questions, but I want to just show how complicated this Gemara is. I honestly, if I would have looked at it, I would have said, okay, Aliyah LeRegel, this is a special Gzeirat HaKatuv. Does that really prove every other mitzvah? Right? And especially the Chazara question, you might have said, okay, maybe while I'm going to do a mitzvah, I'm magically protected, but coming back, maybe there's Gzeirat HaKatuv by...
Well, it's just like... What does the first one even mean then if when you're
good.
Going back?
Now, again, for those briskers who want Gemaras to make your life harder here, so another problem, that was the Gemara I just sent out from you, was the Gemara in Shabbat, Kuf Yud-Chet. I didn't want to, you know, I wanted you to be able to think about the Gemara, so I didn't give you too many sources, but I did send this one out on the chat. I will just read it for you, and if it doesn't create problems, well, it should. Amar Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, this is my wish in life. Yihi chelki mimete becholei me'ayim. Rabbi Yossi says he wants to die of stomach problems. Why? D'amar mar ruban shel tzadikim eitin b'chol me'ayim. Because apparently most righteous people... Yes. It was like I remember in Rambam, Rabbi Friedman saying, yes, the traditional Talmid Chacham disease is gout. And therefore, it's true. The Gemara, they even attribute gout to Moshe Rabbeinu because it was the Talmud Chacham disease. Why? I don't know.
Isn't that like painful death?
Gout?
Yeah,
probably. Gout is excruciating.
What?
Yeah, anyways. So Amar Rav Yossi, that line is just weird, but it doesn't create problems for us. The next line does. That Amar Rav Yossi, he chelki mi meite b'derech mitzvah. Rav Yossi says, really, what I want to do is be among those people who die on their way to do a mitzvah.
Well, is he saying like Al Kiddush Hashem? That sounds like...
No.
I'm sorry, what'd you say? Right? And all the Mepharshim are like, really? How is that supposed to happen? Aren't you magically protected from dying while you're on
the... Can you ask a question on the general concept of dying Al Kiddush Hashem? How can that possibly die Al Kiddush Hashem?
You want to do that also? Or how does it relate to... fine.
Or I'll say differently, which is, how does it work in general?
Meaning... Is it different? Is this just an expression of normal hashgacha? Is it... Right, so there are a lot of issues
with this idea.
It's a very complicated theological idea. So, okay, we raised some problems. Now there are some others. There are many others, but let's start going through it, okay? I'm not claiming that we're going to be exhaustive here. But I want to start dealing with at least some of the questions. Okay, I sent you out one article here by Rav Avram Tzvi Margolid, who's the Rav of Carmiel, apparently. That's what it says on top of it, that he is the Rav of Carmiel. He wrote a nice article that he summarizes some of the issues here. I have a bunch of other makarot on my computer. I was debating. I was like, I could go in one of two ways here. I could either give you no makarot and have you think about these issues in the Gemara, or I could give you a million makarot and confuse you. So I went on this one, give you a little bit of break on it, and just focus on the Gemara and thinking about the issues, which I hope you did. Okay, so let's go through some of the issues. So, Margalit notes that in addition to these problems, you have to note that this appears in different forms in Chazal. Elsewhere, it appears as Shomer Mitzvah Lo Yeda Davar Ra, based on the pasuk Kohelet, and that one who keeps the mitzvah won't know evil. Now, that's interesting because why does that sound different? That
maybe this is really a subsection of obvious question, which is right Shomer Mitzvah. Lo yeda davar ra. What does that sound like? Sounds like what? Like tzaddikim or something are protected in general,
right? It doesn't seem to have to do with the performance of a mitzvah per se. Now it's shomer mitzvah. The people who keep mitzvah. But this is another way of saying obvious question, which is like, is this different than general hashgacha? Like the idea that God in general takes care of righteous people. That's one thing. What is right, what exactly is this, and what way is it unique? Okay? So I'm going to take you a little bit through his article, and then I'll bring other Makarot as we go, but his analysis is nice in terms of framing some of the issues. Okay, so starting with our Gemara, he asks the following. He starts off and he says, okay, why is it that we use this convoluted source from Aliyah LeRegel, which as I pointed out, could be an exception. If not, but even if it's not an exception, I mean, it's like a diuk, when the pasuk you should have used is the pasuk in Kohelet of Shomer Mitzvah Lo Yida Devara.
It's pretty obvious.
So you could have just said, well, fine. Fine. Maybe that's from Ketuvim. And you don't want to use something in Ketuvim when you have a pasuk in Chumash, but then again, this is more explicit. Okay. But he says a bigger question is my question here is, well, how do you know that at least Shomer Mitzvah Lo Yidavara sounds like it's more universal? How does the Gemara even know that this is not exceptional to Aliyah L'Regel? And how does the Gemara know that this is a source for everything? And then he says, I think we put it up here. No, we didn't, but we said it several times, which is, what is this Shluchei Mitzvah in a Nizokin thing? Why don't you just say Osei Mitzvah in a Nizokin? What is this Shluchei Mitzvah? Furthermore, he also wonders, it sounds as if, what is the source of this? Like, the Gemara never has a programmatic place where it just says, Shluchei Mitzvah in a Nizokin. It's like we bring it up as like a Derech Agav in Bedika Chametz. He's like, that's sort of weird. Don't you think it'd be important enough that this was like a real rule to establish it? But okay. Other things we have to put on the board. Ah, yes.
I said this yesterday, but if you remember how to get into all of this, right, and for how perfect of a mitzvah. Right?
How perfect of a mitzvah. Right, that was the case that we saw yesterday, because Gemara said, right, because, oh, if you're doing it for the wrong reasons, is that a mitzvah? Which implies that the Gemara is already implying that what? Not all mitzvot are going to trigger this rule. That's why the Gemara had to establish that Ha'omer Selezu Litzdaka Menashe Yeshu B'mini is enough of a mitzvah to trigger the rule. And he notes that the Birkat Avram was bothered with this whole thing because the simple shot of the line, if I just gave you the rule, Shluchei Mitzvah Einin Nizokin, what would you have thought it meant? All mitzvot. Right? Forget all the theological problems. You just knew the line. And I asked you, what does it mean? Shluchei Mitzvah Einin Nizokin, you would have thought, like, I do a mitzvah. So why does Gemara take it as obvious that it's not every mitzvah? That the Gemara had to go through the diyun that we did yesterday on Kavana, and when does Kavana...
Well, maybe it's because based on what they saw about Shchiach, that doesn't.
Oh, maybe, right? I mean, but maybe that points to the fact that, oh, this is only a certain type of protection under certain circumstances. And maybe, yeah, going back to Avi's point, just like in Hashgacha, there's like varying levels of Hashgacha. Maybe this rule, Shluchei Mitzvah Nizokin, is not as expansive as you might have thought at first glance. The Gemara, though, seems to maintain Limaskana a certain amount of conviction that Kavana will change things. How do I know? So the Birkat Avram points out, because what is the end of this whole sugya? What was the last part of the sugya? That there can't be really good fruit or hot springs in Yerushalayim, because then we're worried that you'll go up Shelo Lishma. Brigad Avram says, well, what is that? Why is that in the sugya? The simple pshat is to tell you that if you were going up for ulterior motives to Yerushalayim, that you wouldn't get the protection. That's why it's in this context. And it's not just ancillary, it's not just Derech Agav, it's part of this discussion. Brigad Avram said, but wait a second, didn't we start the whole discussion by saying that if I do things for ulterior motives,
I still get
protected? So what's going on? And so Rav Margalit is like, well, maybe you have to distinguish between things that you're doing. Remember we saw yesterday, things that you're only doing for ulterior motives, and I would regret doing it if I didn't. So he says, well, maybe the same is true here, that if there were hot springs in Yerushalayim and then they were shut down for maintenance, when I was in, I'd be like, it's not worth me going to be Ola Regel. Like, why would I be Ola Regel? I only go for the hot springs. I can't stay at that hotel. I can't stay at the spa. I have to stay at that lowly David Citadel. I mean, I gewalt. I would never have gone. I was counting on the spot. So maybe we're talking about that type of case, because then you're not doing the mitzvah. But again, it is odd that the Gemara opens with the assumption that you can have different kavanot and the mitzvah is still performed, and yet seems to close with the idea that that would not trigger the protection, which implies not a mitzvah. Or alternatively, there are different types of, right, that protection requires a more altruistic, maybe not a perfectly altruistic mitzvah, but a more altruistic
you need to be
mitzvah.
Performing the mitzvah for the sake of performing the mitzvah.
Assumedly. Could you be performing a mitzvah for the sake that you get protection?
Yeah, that would be weird, but maybe. Maybe.
Isn't that the example that your son won't die?
That's like a different maybe.
Yeah, maybe it's like it's different. Okay, so let us turn back to the Gemara. So now he notes that there are two answers given in the Gemara. The first answer that the reason we tell you not to do bidika when there's danger is because you might do it for ulterior motives and be looking for the needle. The second time the Gemara asks, answers rather, what does it answer? Sorry. And then the Gemara's second answer is that sometimes we don't make you do it because Shluchei Mitzvah in a Nizokin doesn't apply when Shchiyah Chazeka, and therefore you don't have to search. Okay. So he then asked, and he notes, this is in the Bach, and now we return to something the Makarot actually gave you. Remember I told you that if you want, you could look back in the Makarot from a few days ago, that Chok Yaakov, remember they bring up Shulchei Mitzvah and Nizokins. I'm not going to read them all inside, but you have those in the Makarot. So the Bach asked the following question. He says the following. He says, if it's a case of Shema Tovid Lo Machat, that you might have lost the needle, and therefore you're in some danger, he said, that's only enough to exempt you from Bidika when you don't know that there's Chametz. But the Bach says the following. If I'm not sure if there's chametz, and there is normal level danger, so I am patur from doing the bidika, even though shluchei mitzvah ain't in nizokin, because I have to weigh it against the reality that I don't know if there's chametz, and so when I'm looking for chametz, I might be I'm not going to find chametz, but I will end up looking for my needle. And I'm not really doing a mitzvah at that point or something like that. I am doing a mitzvah, but I finished doing the mitzvah. I'm like, oh, there's no chametz here. But I'm already in. Why don't I look for the needle? But that's in a case where not Shcheya Chazeka. So when it's not Shcheya Chazeka, the possibility that I might end up looking for my needle and therefore being in a possibly dangerous situation without the protection of mitzvah is enough to exempt me from bidika when I don't know that there's chametz. The Bach, though, assumes that the second line, where it says that I'm patur from searching for the chametz when my next-door neighbor, the non-Jew, is going to think I'm casting a spell on him and he can come and shoot me because he doesn't want me to turn him to a frog, that is true even when I know there's chametz. Right, that's a p'tur, not bedika, but a p'tur biur. Okay? Right, that's the Bach's position, because I'm in danger. I don't have to do a mitzvah when I'm in danger. But that's interesting, because what does that force us to understand about this rule? That shulchei mitzvah and nizokin
is so powerful that it can stop you from having to do a mitzvah.
Well, when it, right, meaning it is powerful enough that it actually affects when I'm chayav to do the mitzvah in the first place.
It's like the opposite, right?
Right? Like when I can rely on it a little bit, then I have to do the mitzvah. Meaning, if what's the Bach saying? Let's say there, I know there's chametz, but there only might be scorpions. So it's not shchiyah chesed. Then he says, even though there is some danger, I am obligated to take that minimal risk and rely on the protective capabilities of shluchei mitzvah and nizokin to fulfill biur. It's just that bedika isn't enough of a chiyuv, so I don't have to take advantage of shluchei mitzvah and nizokin, or maybe I can't, because I'm not going to find chametz, right? But in order to get out of biur, when I know there's chametz, if shluchei mitzvah and nizokin applied, I would be obligated to do something that is otherwise dangerous to do the mitzvah and rely on the magic protection of shluchei mitzvah. It's only because shluchei mitzvah itself is negated by shchiyah chesed that I become pater from beer, which means that shluchei mitzvah and nizokin isn't just that what? It's triggered by performance of mitzvot, but the fact that it will be triggered by the performance of mitzvah, actually in anticipatory status, shapes my obligation in said mitzvah. Right? Because since being in danger as a potential p'tur from a mitzvah, there's two questions. Is what I'm doing a mitzvah to trigger shluchei mitzvah? And is shluchei mitzvah going to be triggered such that I don't get the exemption that would come from a mitzvah from being in danger? Right? So, there's actually, exactly. Right? So it's actually more than just something that's triggered. It has what the Bach is noting is that what's amazing about our sukkah is that it's actually not just a theological claim. It's a halachic claim. Exactly. Because it's not just the result of my mitzvah.
It's letting you know exactly when you should do mitzvah that you might perceive that there's a danger with.
Exactly, right? It's also, wait, which only highlights how important this rule is, because it's not just, because you could just say, oh, it's just one of these nice theological lines that I say that God protects us, and it doesn't always work. But no, what the Bach is highlighting is that this really does matter to get a definition of it, because it's not just, it's not like, oh, I'll ask Kashas later. It's, right, should I do the mitzvah to begin with? The Chok Yaakov is a different answer, and he says losing a needle in the mapolet is common because it's down, right? It's falling, but losing it between my neighbor is not common, because how is chametz going to fall at shoulder height? And therefore, the needle. The Chok just says it's practical. No, really, don't make formal distinctions. The reason the Gemara invoked different answers, it could have invoked it in both. It's just that it's more likely that I lost a new needle on the floor and it fell, and therefore I have to be worried I'm going to be not performing a mitzvah lishma when I'm looking something on the floor than something in at shoulder length shoulder height, because it's unlikely that a needle just fell there. I would have had to put it there. Bechavana, it's unlikely to lose something I put there bechavana, but don't start making me diukim between the answers. However, there's a different question you have to ask. I mean, the Bach is very interesting, but there's another question you have to ask, which is, why did the Gemara wait to invoke Shluchei mitzvah to Amud Bet? Why didn't it invoke it as a possible p'tur on the Mapolet, the rock slide? Or he didn't even bring it up. Yeah. And in the case of the Akravim, the case of the... But the Gemara only brings it up by the Goy. It doesn't bring it up by the Scorpion case either. Wait, no, that's not right. It does. No, that's not right.
Is that what it says?
Sorry. Not Shulchan Mitzvah. It doesn't bring up Shnei Chazeka. Right? It doesn't bring up Shnei Chazeka. So there you have to say, well, maybe scorpions aren't common. Yeah, you may have to do that.
That's what I assumed.
Okay. So that distinction, again, I'm going to follow his article, so we'll be answering these questions as we go along. The Olad Shabbat notes this difference and says the difference is, Avi, that this is coming to answer one of Avi's questions, namely the free will question. Is why does the Gemara say by the scorpion case it doesn't invoke Shriya Chezeka as a reason not to invoke the rule? But by your non-Jewish neighbor, it does say you can't count on protection. He says it's not really a quantitative difference. Avi. He says it's not a quantitative difference. Why is it qualitative? No, this is your point. Because the akrav is an animal. So no matter how common it is that damage will come from an animal, God protecting you at that moment doesn't deny anybody's free will. And therefore, perhaps, God will invoke the protective powers of Shluchei Mitzvah Einan Nizokin when the potential damaging agent has no free will. And therefore, when it comes to animals, there's no difference between Shriya Chazeka and not Shriya Chazeka. However, when the damage is coming from a person, and in order for God to ensure my protection, God will have to, at some level, suspend the other person's free will, then God says, I'm only going to do that when it's not so common to begin with. And it's like a minimal intrusion on free will. But if he would have to maximally intrude on free will, God is not going to do that. And he says, what's his proof? What's his proof? What's his proof? So now we have one person who says, here, free will, the answer is animals
do not have free will, therefore in a animals, situation where
God will protect even from from common
situations,
danger, but not people.
Because
it's a violation of free will, right? Because of free will. This is the Olad Shabbat. Why would you do that? Why is that true? Sorry, how does he know? I understand why it's true. How does he know? The Gemara's proof. Shmuel. That Shmuel was afraid of Shaul.
Right.
I mean, what's the proof that the Gemara invokes that when it's Shnei Chezek, you have to take precautions and God isn't just going to protect you? Yeah, because Shaul would kill him. He says that's how he knows. That's why the Gemara says, yeah, he isn't good. God didn't guarantee Shmuel that without taking some protective measures, he would be safe, because in order to do that, he would have had to take away the free will of Shaul. He notes here that the Aruch Chaim makes this point as well. This is a very famous Aruch Chaim, but it's fun. The Aruch Chaim invokes this in a very interesting parshanut by Yosef. Reuven says, let's not kill him. So what do the brothers do instead? Throw him in the pit. So the Aruch Chaim says, you know why he did that? Exactly. Is that if they killed him, they could kill him even if Yosef wasn't deserving of death, because they're Bali Bechira. what he said is, let's throw them to these scorpions, because since they're animals,
God will
they don't have free will, and therefore his fate is left up to God in Okanami. But it's a parallel idea from the Arachayim. And the Chok Yaakov doesn't like this. The Chok Yaakov doesn't like this. Why doesn't he like this? Chok Yaakov doesn't like this for the reason that
he doesn't like it, which is
the case in the Gemara and Kiddushin of the person going up the ladder to do Shluach again and falling off and killing himself, because guess what? The ladder didn't have free will either, which implies that no,
Shliach Hezek is an independent, right? It's an independent reason to not invoke, right? It's an independent reason to not invoke Shluchei Mitzvah. But so far, what do we see? We now have one view who says that Shluchei Mitzvah is invoked in its full form only when God doesn't need to suspend free will. But if God doesn't need to suspend free will, he's willing to very expansively protect you miraculously. And the Chok Yaakov says, well, that seems to go against the Gemara. The Gemara notes that you can get hurt even when you're climbing up a ladder. And that's a case where no one's free will is...
But that's also not Shliach Hezek, is it?
I don't know. Okay. So here, if Margolit, and again, when I finish from Margolit's article, I'll bring you some other Makar, but he has this nice analysis, and it helps us sort of begin to organize the problems. Let me at least get this out. He introduces the following Hakira to help us understand the Sugya. Okay? And I haven't seen many people try to apply any lumdus to this, so it was helpful to have someone who did. And he has the following question from the Stei Chemet. Shulchan Aruch says that there's a minhag to pour out all the water, the drawn water that is around a dead body. And the Taz and the Shach say the reason is because the Malach HaMavet is around the dead body, and he leaves his a drop of death thing,
poison.
The blood of death, poisonous, around in the water. So it's stay dangerous. Away. And then brings a story from the Tashbates that they were once at someone's house when he died, and the Talmud Chacham saw someone drinking water. He said, don't drink the water. The guy did, and then he died. Okay, so it's dangerous to have water around the dead.
Scary.
Happy?
Well, it is a place bacteria could probably breed more if there's bacteria.
Maybe.
The Pitrei Tshuva then quotes a shocking halacha. And he says, I heard that if post facto you use this water to cook for Shabbos, you're allowed to eat the food.
What?
Why? Because Shluchei Mitzvah. And a Nizokin. But then the Stei Chemet comes up with the following Lamdish Shaila. Watch this. This is when you start applying Lamdus to very philosophical cases, but as we saw from the Bach, it actually is a halachic rule. So the Stechemet is the following shayla. Fine. Let's say that's true. You're allowed to eat it if you cooked for Shabbos. Are you allowed to eat the food on Friday or Motzei Shabbos or only on Shabbos? What does that hang on?
Whether or not it's about the preparation, whether or not it was actually used for a mitzvah, or whether or not it needs to be in the process of being used for a mitzvah.
So he says, here's the lumdish question. Is it that the danger still exists, but while you're performing the mitzvah, God protects you from the danger? Or is God going to protect you by making sure that no danger reaches you? L'mai nafkamina. If it's that God is going to protect you from the damage from ever reaching you,
then
if you know that the Malach HaMavet is poison is already in the water, then you know it's there. You can't.
And anybody with you who's not involved.
Sorry,
If you think, no, I take it back. Is that if you think that what? That God is going to prevent it from ever becoming dangerous because you're doing the mitzvah, that means God will protect the food and make sure the malachim avos is poison doesn't go into it, and therefore you can eat on Friday and Motzei Shabbos also. But if you think that Shluchei Mitzvah means that God magically protects you, even though the danger is present,
it only works then.
Then it only works while you're performing the mitzvah.
It's pretty big enough.
It is enough. I mean, it also, interestingly, might affect which question in our Gemara? Halicha v'chazara. Is it only while you're on your way to do the mitzvah? Right, what exactly is going on, right? That might be.
How would that transfer over? Wait, also,
and then he quotes.
What would it be in the case of the scorpion? That the scorpion just.
And then Stichemet says, how could he prove it? One second. I want to at least get this. How can he prove it? So he notes the following. The Rama. Says that Mayim Shalanu, water, right? You're not normally not allowed to leave water overnight in the time of Chazal because they worry that snakes would put their poison in it. Cool. The Rama says, but you're allowed to use water, Mayim Shalanu, for matzah because Shomer Mitzvah lo yida davara, which again, we'll have to come back whether it's the same rule. So he says, if it prevents anything dangerous happening in advance, so if I'm going to be allowed to use the water for matzah, I could also use it for anything else, because God clearly kept the water safe.
Okay.
But if it's going to be that I won't suffer during the mitzvah, it would be right, it would be usur, and the same thing is true by the, Malacham Avis is poison. What? Sorry. But then he says, but what you see is that the Rama says you're allowed to eat the matzah and never says you're going to eat the matzah on Pesach, which means that he must think that Shomer, that this thing protects you from the damage ever occurring.
I'm not sure how that works.
I don't think we're supposed to know how it works. We're supposed to
the Magen Avraham, on the other hand, says if you start drinking water and then you find out that there's a dead person in the city and you already made the bracha, you drink a little bit and pour out the rest, right? Which implies that
shouldn't do it too
the
much.
Damage is there, the danger is there, it's just God can protect you.
Since you already said the bracha, you need to drink.
Right, something. You need to have a little bit to the mitzvah, but then you're like...
Then don't push it.
Right, and therefore that implies that the danger is there, it just doesn't. You are protected. And therefore he says, right, he uses this criteria to answer this problem, and then we'll finish this. We'll finish here, which is the problem of the rickety ladder. Because he says, if you understood Shomer Mitzvah, Shluchei Mitzvah in Nizokin, which is that you are magically protected during the performance of a mitzvah, then it doesn't matter when the ladder became rickety.
Okay.
But if you think it prevents there from being a danger, then okay. If you take a ladder which was already rickety and therefore the danger was inherent before you perform the mitzvah,
then
Shluchei Mitzvah and Nidogim can't protect you because the damage is here. All it can do is prevent the damage from coming.
It's like if there's an ambulance already going, you can't say, I hope that was
so
good. But what might this also impact? This might be another way of saying the difference between Shriya Chazeka and not Shriya Chazeka. Right? That Shriya Chazeka might be where the damage is already there, right? It's ever present. And therefore, you're not protected, but it's not shliach, it's not really there, right? Or something like that. Okay, so I would suggest that might be the difference between cases of shliach hazeka and not shliach hazeka. We'll continue this tomorrow and whatever, hopefully we'll wrap it up tomorrow. I don't want to continue. If we don't cover everything, it's not the biggest deal. I just wanted to open this sugya to you. But now you see it is quite complicated, and you have the article. You can try reading it tomorrow if you want.